You are listening to By the Book, because if you don't look at the world through the Bible, you will never see it right.
Welcome to By the Book. This is Alan Griffith, your host for episode 129. I'm glad you're listening today. I want to read a verse to you at the very outset of this episode. It's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, found in John chapter 14, verse 27. Listen to it. Jesus Christ said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, we live in a day when people don't have peace. Of course, the world doesn't have peace. But I'm concerned about Christians who don't have peace. There's no reason for the unsaved to have peace. The only time they can have any measure of peace is when everything is going right. And that's why the Lord Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Now that's significant. Because again, when unsaved people have peace, it's because everything is going right. Everybody's healthy, they've got enough money, the car is running, they've got the job, nobody's fighting with anybody, everything is going right, and that's when they can have some measure of peace. Well, thankfully, the Lord Jesus said, "I'm going to give you a peace, and I am leaving you with peace." In other words, this is something that the Christian can have all the time. Now, that's a challenge to be sure, but the Lord Jesus went on and said, "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And then these words, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, the context of that statement was the anticipation of Christ being taken and put on the cross, dying there, and the disciples losing him for that time. Of course, he, praise the Lord, arose from the dead on the third day. But it was in that context the Lord Jesus said that to them. But you know, that peace is for us. You and I can have that peace. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to give in to the troubles. And yet, I'm so sorry to see so many people who are in turmoil, people today who are depressed. I'm not going to take time to explore all of the aspects of depression, but when things get to us and we are angry or we are afraid or whatever it might be that is stirring us, we can suppress that just is defeating to us, and we can end up depressed. And I'm told in statistics that at least 6% of people are depressed every day. Well, I read that a long time ago. I wouldn't be surprised if it's easily twice as much as that. Now, there's no way to avoid trouble. We wish there was, but there isn't. And the troubles will come. They come to us sometimes at the hands of people. Sometimes they come out of our personal circumstances. And certainly we are in a very, very troubled world. A lot of people are upset and defeated and frightened by what's going on in the world. They've got diseases to worry about. They've got World War III that is being talked about all the time. There's economic problems, and on we go. People are on medications today such as never before. I believe personally one of the most dangerous medications you can take are antidepressants. Now, I want to say this to you immediately. If by chance you are on antidepressants or you are on any kind of medicine, don't get off those medications without your doctor's okay. I want to make that very, very clear. If you're on medication, do not stop the medication without your doctor's okay. At the same time, I want to say this. We can have victory in our lives. We can have victory through peace. God is able to give us peace in the time of heartache and trial and trouble and difficulty. We can have peace. And if we can have it, then we need to get it. We need to claim it. Now, I'm going to ask you, if you have your Bible, to open to Philippians chapter 4. This is a great passage of Scripture. They all are. But when we are looking at a particular topic, we find instruction and guidance in the biblical text, and that just makes it wonderful for the issue that we're dealing with. Paul is concluding his letter to the believers at Philippi. He is concerned evidently about some trouble that a couple of ladies are having, Euodias and Syntyche. And he says in verse 2 of Philippians 4, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Again, evidently they were struggling. He said, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So these words of challenge as he closes the book. And then he says this in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's extremely important that you and I do not reserve our rejoicing for the good circumstances. Our rejoicing has to be in the Lord. He never changes. He is always worthy of our worship and our praise. And he is the one over whom and in whom we should do our rejoicing. So Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Always be rejoicing in the Lord. He always does things right. His ways are perfect. Look to him. Look beyond the circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. In verse 5, he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. That moderation is kind of a gentleness of spirit, but it's a quiet victory. It's not, again, upset or being stirred to the point of anger or frustration. No, it's this gentleness that God can give us in handling life. And then he says in that same verse, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. We can understand that in two ways. Number one, the Lord is at hand in the sense that Jesus Christ is coming back, and it could be at any time, and I rejoice in that. But it also is the Lord is at hand. The Lord is nearby. The Lord is available to us. We can turn to him. We can find him. He is always there. With those things in mind, Paul now gives a very extremely important instruction. It's found in verse 6. Here's what he says. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Now, that term careful can be rendered with the idea of anxiety. It's being full of cares. It's being dominated by the cares, and therefore it is an anxiousness that can take over and really be defeating. And here's what Paul says. He says, don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Be careful for nothing. The idea of these cares is that the struggles are so great within over perhaps the conditions without, that we are just unable to function the way we should. The challenge is that you can be so upset that you are, I'm going to use this term intentionally, driven to distraction. Now, you may have been there. You may have heard other people say they are there, and it goes something like this. I am so upset, I cannot think straight. I am so upset, I cannot concentrate on what I need to be doing. I am just focusing on the upset, the turmoil, the trouble in my life. Well, that's exactly what Paul's talking about when he says, don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Don't be driven to distraction. Don't let the problems and the cares and the troubles be so devastating that you can't even live your life in a normal way. Now, here's the wonderful thing. Along with that exhortation, which somebody might say, oh, well, that's easy to say. But along with that exhortation, Paul is going to give us instruction. And I want to tell you, I talk to people many times who in their time of trouble say something like this. Well, I read the Bible, or I read the Bible all the time. Now, listen, you and I should read the Bible all the time. But in the Bible, God often gives us instruction. He says, I'm telling you what to do. And it is not enough to read that text. You and I need to get to the scripture when we find there is instruction for us. We need to follow the instruction if we're going to get the results that God is promising in the text. And so here in verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing. And again, somebody could write that off as, well, you know, I can't handle that. But then he says this, listen to it. But in everything. He's going to say, I'm going to give you some instruction that is appropriate in the midst of everything that you deal with. In everything, by prayer, the term prayer there is the most common word for prayer. It's a word that speaks of petition, asking, but it could also include confession and thanksgiving and any aspect of prayer you can imagine. It's the general word. Be careful for nothing, but in prayer, be a praying person in prayer and supplication. That's the more intense request to deal with a problem or an issue. He said, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. I'm going to pause right there. That is one of the most important challenges that God gives us to be fulfilled in our life in hard times. Thanksgiving. Now, I want to point this out right away. This is not a challenge toward our emotions. God is not saying that when we have problems, we are supposed to feel, that's emotion, to feel thankful. There's a lot of things that go into my life. I don't feel thankful, and I'm sure that's true for you. But that's not what God's telling us to do. He's giving us here a pathway to victory. And he isn't saying that the only way to victory is to feel thankful. He does say, however, that we are to, listen to it, give thanks. by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Give thanks. Let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. And this challenge is given in the midst of the believer being filled with the Spirit, and we need to be. He said in verse 20 of Ephesians 5, giving thanks. Again, that's not feeling thankful. It's giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, when he writes to the believers at Philippi, is dealing with the specifics of difficulty and trial and trouble and anxiety when he says we need to, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. He's going to say more about that. But here in Ephesians 5:20, it's a broad general challenge, giving thanks always, listen to it, for all things. Well, that's not an easy thing to do. That's why I'm grateful the challenge is not to our emotions to feel thankful. But listen, this is a spiritual challenge. And the fulfilling of it in our lives, when we do what God tells us to do, it's going to lift us out of the emotional despair. It's going to lift us out of the defeat. It is not an easy thing to do. I have followed this instruction at times, crying while I was praying. But here's what it says. Give thanks. Giving thanks in all things. Give thanks. But why would we be told to do that? And how can we be expected to do that? And when I say that, and when I talk about this text, and when I've talked about it with people in private counseling, knowing some of the things they have been through, it is a sobering challenge. You expect me to give thanks for that? Wow, that's hard. And as I speak to you today, I don't know what you have gone through. I don't know what you are going through right now. But I do know that the challenge here is a spiritual challenge. It is a challenge for us to look beyond the present, to look beyond the hurt, to look to a God who does all things well. His ways are perfect. He has purpose for what he does, purpose for what he allows. And every single one of us would say that sometimes God allows things that we don't understand. God allows things that are hurtful. We don't get it. The truth, however, is this. Someday we'll understand. I've had people say, well, I think when we get to heaven, we won't care about those things anymore. I personally believe that when we get to heaven, God's going to give us some understanding of what life was all about and what the experiences were all about and what he was seeking to do and indeed what he did do. You and I will be able to get a spiritual and eternal perspective about some of the hurts and the heartaches and the tragedies that we go through. Again, I'm grateful God doesn't say that we're supposed to feel thankful, but he does say, I'll read it again, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Lord, I give you thanks. I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand the why. I don't know understand why whatever it is you are seeking to do or going to do, why it couldn't be done in a different way. But Lord, by faith, I give you thanks. I give you thanks for what you're doing. I'm not giving you thanks that it isn't worse than it is. I'm giving you thanks for the experience itself. Of course, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, that does not mean that in the midst of everything I give thanks. It doesn't mean that I'm looking for something to be thankful for in the midst of, you know, the trouble. Lord, I broke my leg. I want to thank you that I didn't break both legs. It isn't that. It's, Lord, I don't understand why you let me break this leg, but I give you thanks because you're doing something I cannot see. You're allowing this for a purpose. And it is a purpose beyond the temporal. It is a purpose that will lead to the eternal. I give you thanks. But isn't it wonderful that the text also goes on and says this? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, and then this, let your request be made known unto God. Times are hard. Times can be very, very hurtful. But God says, I want you to let your request be made known unto me. God invites us to his throne, the throne of grace, to tell him what we desire, to ask him to work, to ask him to do things, to ask him to change the circumstances, to ask him to change people, to ask him to change us, to ask him to bring healing. Let your requests be made known unto God. Now, you and I don't always know what God will do in response to our requests. Sometimes he answers them just the way we set things before him. Sometimes he says, wait, I'm not going to do what you're asking right now. Hope for us that maybe he will do it at some time. And then we know that sometimes God says, no, I'm not going to answer your request in a positive way. I'm not going to do what you asked me to do. But you take these things as a combination of what God wants from us in the times of difficulty. Be careful for nothing. I don't want to be driven to distraction. I don't want to be so upset that I can't think right or can't function right. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be there. And so I can pray, I can petition God, I can talk to God, I can praise him, I can confess my sins, I can just talk to the Lord. And I can then enter into the requests for things that really hurt, the deep inquiries to God, the supplications. With thanksgiving, I offer him thanks for what he's doing, what he has allowed, and then I make my request known to him. Now again, there is no guarantee that God is going to answer every request in a positive way. But listen to what verse 7 says. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, what that is letting us know is that we don't have to necessarily have the prayer answered the way we want it answered, and we don't necessarily have to have the circumstances changed that we're going through or that we did go through. We don't have to have those things in order to have peace. I'm glad for that. I'm grateful for that. If we could get peace until the whole thing was resolved, we may never get peace, because there are many things that are never going to be resolved the way we want them to be resolved. But does that mean I have to live in continuing defeat and frustration and anger and depression? No, it doesn't mean that. No, there is peace of God, the peace of God that passes understanding. Now, you see, it would be understandable if we got peace when everything was going right. It would be understandable that we got peace if we made our request to God and he answered right away and the thing was solved. Boy, then we'd have peace. That would be very understandable. Here's what God says to you, and he says it to me. He said, I can give you peace that is beyond understanding. And what that implies is this: I can give you peace for which there's no human reason to have peace. I can give you peace even when everything is going haywire and you can't figure out the why. And you don't know what to do. And you don't know what the answer from God is going to be when we make our requests. But here's what the text says. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall, number one, keep or guard your heart. Well, that's important. One of the reasons it's important is because my heart is the deepest part of my being, and I need that to be guarded. I don't want the problems to get to my heart and create in me anger and bitterness, bitterness toward people or bitterness toward God. I don't want that. I need that heart guarded. And then also it will, this peace of God, will keep or guard our minds. Oh, that's so important. That's so important. When we get defeated, we start thinking and we start dwelling on the hurts. We dwell on the problems. We dwell on all the negatives. And those are the things that then drive us to distraction. I'm thinking on this. I cannot stop thinking on this. I am being defeated by this. I want to give up. I want to throw it all in. I can't stand this anymore, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there are people who are living in that kind of defeat. They are living in depression. They are living without a desire to serve God, to walk with God. They've just plain given up. Well, you know, that can't be you. And that cannot be me. I tell the story from time to time. I may have told it on the podcast in the past. But I tell it because it's so amazing to me. There was a lady in our church years and years ago, back in the 80s. Her name was Arlene. Arlene was one of those ladies who was upset all the time about everything. And then she got cancer. And she was upset, to say the least. And I went to visit her and her husband, and I opened this passage of scripture, and we talked about it. And she was just so stirred, so upset, just so afraid. And so we went through this passage of scripture, and I encouraged her and her husband to do what the text says to do. Sometime later, within the next week or so, I got a phone call from Arlene. And when I answered the phone, she simply said this, "Pastor, I've got it." I didn't know what she was talking about. I said, "You've got what?" She said, "Peace." I have peace. Well, Arlene died from her cancer. And that was so hard for all of us. But that lady died with peace. All the turmoil, all the heartache, all the upset that she had experienced in so much of her life was gone because God gave her the peace, and it really passed understanding. You and I can have that peace. Don't just read the text. We need to do exactly what it says. God will be faithful to him, his word, and faithful to his children. Lord bless you. Till next time.